So today we come to the next sermon in our series based on the book Slow Church, Cultivating Community in the Patient Way of Jesus. A slow church is not one which is very slow to do anything, or where the services are extremely long because they are slow-paced. No, slow church is a way of doing church which is locally sustained, sustainable, and sustaining. It is a church which develops its own unique way of doing things and its own unique presence in its neighborhood. It is a church which is the local manifestation of the body of Christ. As our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, might say, we are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement here in Los Osos. And being slow church means that we don't have some multi-page manual handed down from above, but nevertheless, we take our place in the community of the Diocese of El Camino Real, as well as in the local community of Los Osos. Today I'm going to be talking about two chapters from the book Slow Church, and that covers work and Sabbath. In the Gospel reading, we heard Jesus sending his disciples out to work. And though that was kind of a provocative gospel, and I'd love to spend time on it, I'm actually going to be referring back more to the reading that we heard last week, which Tom read for us from Genesis. Then we heard from the first account of creation how God worked to create the world, and then on the seventh day, God rested. Now the second story of creation, which comes right after it, describes the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Many people mistakenly read this story as suggesting that work is the result of sin. But God works. God works to create the world. And God put humankind in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Work is one of the things that gives meaning to our lives. Many of us work outside the home, whether in paid or volunteer positions. And for others of us, the home is our primary place of work. From ancient times, work has been understood as an important aspect of the spiritual life. St. Benedict stressed the importance of work in the balanced life of the monastery, and Brother Lawrence, a 17th century Carmelite monk, wrote about loving God among the pots and pans and the busyness of the kitchen. Slow Church, the book, distinguishes between good work, which is work that upholds the dignity of every human being, and bad work, which is work that degrades. We've become more and more aware in recent years of the heartbreaking exploitation of thousands of people in the modern slave trade. In January of this year, 474 people were arrested across California for human trafficking. Some of them as close as Santa Barbara, maybe even here in San Luis Obispo. And 27 adults, together with 28 children, were liberated. Most of these have been coerced into prostitution and pornography. And possibly even closer to home, just down the road, are the field workers, who are some of the most oppressed workers, working long hours with low wages and little job security. Helping people to find meaningful work is one of the ways that we can live out our baptismal promise to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. One of the ways we do this is through the Abundance Shop. Not only are we a job training site for Transitions Mental Health clients, we provide a place where many people can work. Yesterday morning, while I was the cashier, we had four people helping Karin with sorting, pricing, and keeping things attractive. Four people doing meaningful volunteer work. And if you include Karin and myself, it was six, and Francis came in as well, so that's seven of us. Thanks to Karin and Francis and all the volunteers, the store attracts people looking to work in a loving environment. And here's a quick plug. We do need more cashiers to keep the doors open. And please talk to Francis if you can help. But when we pass on the things that we are not selling in the store, we're sharing our abundance with others and helping to provide work in their lives too. Shopping locally, reusing things and selling them, helps to keep money in the area. And that stimulates our local economy, which helps to provide more jobs here. It keeps wealth circulating rather than concentrating through strategies of accumulation. So there are two aspects of work which are important to us as the local church. One is helping each other to find the sacredness of our own work lives. And the second is seeking economic justice so that all people can find work. People flourish when they have meaningful work, but some of us have too much. Just as our society encourages us to have more and more stuff, to live in bigger and bigger houses, and keep getting the latest gadgets, so it encourages us to work harder and longer. I think that there's only one of the Ten Commandments that people boast about breaking. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that this is a less important commandment than not murdering or stealing. In the first story of creation, God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. God took a Sabbath day. God took time to delight in all that was created and being created. And so God's people are expected to do the same. Sabbath is the pinnacle of creation, the cherry on the top of the cake. This Sabbath was also extended to the land and to the socio-economic system. Land was given a Sabbath and allowed to lie fallow. In Jubilee years, debts were forgiven and land returned to those who had surrendered it to pay debt. This was and is astonishingly countercultural. We come close to worshipping work. 86% of American men and 67% of women work more than 40 hours a week. The Japanese have a word, karoshi, which means death by overwork. And yet, Americans actually work 137 more hours per year than Japanese do. 260 more hours per year than the British, which doesn't surprise me, and 499 more hours than the French. So, we worship work, you know, we really want to do it, it seems. And we're also an acquisitive society. In the capitalist system, money will always be concentrated in the hands of a few, unless it is redistributed. In the Jubilee years of the Old Testament, once every 50 years, land was to be returned to those from whom it had been taken. A radical redistribution of the means of production. Those who had accumulated would have had to return the fruits of their advantage. We might think we see something similar happening today in the philanthropy of the 1%. The Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation gives away billions of dollars each year to make the world a better place. But they are not returning the means of production. Their gifts do nothing to dismantle the system of capitalism which made them so wealthy in the first place. While capitalism demands hard work and acquisitiveness, Sabbath not only means stopping work, it means letting go of striving and consuming to spend a day, to spend time rejoicing in the gifts of God. There are many rules in the Old Testament for what to do or not do on the Sabbath. And our Puritan forebears were also very strict about the Sabbath as a day of great seriousness. But Jesus himself often bucked the Sabbath laws. He told those who criticized him, "The Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath." When we celebrate Sabbath, we are demonstrating our trust in God's providence, our trust that we can stop working, that we can stop trying to make things better, just for a while, and that God will continue to do God's part. As you know, my Sabbath is Monday. On Mondays, I try to take a long walk, go to farmer's market, have a nap, read a book, or watch a movie. Stuff that I enjoy with Jill and which feeds my soul. But often I find myself caught up in the family to-do list because it's also the time we have together to run errands and have medical appointments. So sometimes we need to take longer periods of Sabbath to retreat to a holy place that supports us as we let go of the worries and busyness of our lives to rejoice in God. The great church father Athanasius said, "The glory of God is the human being fully alive." Sabbath practice helps us to be fully alive. It is a time for rest and a time given to God. It affirms work by keeping work in its proper bounds and reorienting it towards the glory of God. It is also a way of reining in our consumptive desires and cultivating a spirit of gratitude. I think one of the most important aspects of Sabbath is that it reminds us of what is enough. Advertisers continually encourage us to go on accumulating. But how much is enough? When the Israelites received manna during their time in the wilderness, they were only to collect enough for that one day. Anything that they didn't need for food in one day went bad. Our own lives tell us that more of a good thing is not always better. Even when you're thirsty, the third glass of water is not as satisfying as the first. Sabbath reminds us that we have enough, that we don't need to go on working and striving all the time. When we do, when we feel compelled to keep going every moment, then we are out of balance. Work cannot be truly sacred when it is consuming all that we have and all that we are. It becomes instead a false idol, a God whom we serve before the God of the Sabbath. And so I wonder, what kind of Sabbath observances do we have as individuals? And what kind of Sabbath observance do we have as a church? How do we pause together to reflect on God's call to us and to celebrate abundance? Now I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to talk to those around you or to reflect quietly on your own on those questions. What Sabbath observance do you have as an individual? And what kind of Sabbath observance do we have as a church? And what small steps possibly could we take to increase our Sabbath? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy One of blessing, we remember before you all those who suffer as a result of not having meaningful work or adequate ways to support themselves and their families. Guide the people of this country that we may use our resources to help all to find suitable and fulfilling employment. Free us, your people, from the sins of acquisitiveness and failure to keep the Sabbath. Please help us to find new ways to keep your day holy and to rejoice in your providence. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.